Blog Talk Radio.
That God has given me a form
to be able to share my journey in this Christian walk, and I'm honored that he has chosen me for such a time as this to be able to be transparent with how I'm processing through the obstacles and the pains of life, and understanding that there is a purpose for the pain. Amen. And so I'm just thankful that he's given me this platform. Been doing it. I'm going on seven. I'll be doing a 7-year anniversary. Matter of fact, I think I might just complete it 7 years, October the 1st. So, wow. Yeah, October the 1st, I believe, was my 7th year or the 6th year. I have to figure it out. But anyway, nevertheless, I am just honored that that is going this long. I know a lot of people that have been given opportunities with like platforms and did not, you know, for whatever reason, did not continue. So I'm glad that I'm still here among the living, and I'm glad that no matter what curveballs life throws, that that we have the ability, we have the power through Christ Jesus to be able to dodge the ball and get back up and get back on track. Amen. So saying all that to say is that Coach D is just a woman who has said yes to Jesus. Yes, Father, I'll do it. It does not say that I'm perfect. It does not say that I'm exempt from pain. It does not say that I'm exempt from problems. It does not say that I will not at times go left when I should have went right. So I'm just willing to share my journey. Tonight's message is, I wasn't sure that I was going to even present a message on tonight. Generally, you know, there's 4 weeks in a month, and on occasion we'll get a month that has 5 weeks, and I normally take that week to kind of refresh and rejuvenate and just kind of rest. But I was speaking to I was speaking with my mentor today, and they were like, "Oh, are you doing this show?" And I said, "No, this is the 5th Thursday. I don't believe I'm going to do the show on the day because I don't normally do it on the 5th Thursday of the month." And he said, "Well, okay, well, we're sure going to miss it." And as soon as we hung up the phone, I heard the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit had been dealing with me all week. This week has just been an amazing week. I mean, me and God just been kicking it. We've just been in some quiet quality time. I've been able to just rest in Him this week, and He's just been kind of revealing some things to me. And this week has been like one of those weeks. I would have to probably say the last couple of weeks have really been a week where He's just been cleansing me of those areas in my life that's unrighteous. And you know, He's just been showing me things, like giving me obvious signs of certain things. And I'm talking about just for me. And He began to show me and really help me begin to not just repent. You know, repent means to walk, to turn away from. So not just ask for forgiveness, but truly repent and walk away from some areas. And some of those areas is I'm critical. I had a critical spirit on me. And that critical spirit, I have been dressed in that critical spirit my whole life, ever since I can remember. And, people don't just get stuff. It's learned behavior. And so I learned the behavior of a critical spirit, and I operated in it. So if I'm not careful, my kids and my kids' kids will operate in that same spirit if I don't call it out. And God has been showing me some things, and He's causing me to call it out, to speak to it, you know, to speak to the spirit, to understand it, to identify it. So now He's helping me to identify it in me. But how many of us know when God begins to show us stuff in you know, start showing us stuff in ourselves, it becomes so much clearer in those around us. Amen. And so that brings me to my subject on tonight. And I found it funny because all of this just manifested. See, when God got a plan, you don't have to, you know, some. I mean, I study to show myself approved. I prepare for my nights of, you know, when I know I'm doing the show. You know, I get into the Word of God, and I use that day to just kind of concentrate and just be still before the Lord. I didn't have that opportunity on tonight. But when God say go, he means go. And he's already prepared you. He's already, you know, all he needs you to just do is say yes and be obedient, and he'll step in and do the rest. And I believe that's what he's going to do on tonight. And I believe that if you're willing and you're here and you're looking for a word from God, I believe you're going to get that word on tonight. Amen. I believe that it's going to be a rhema word. It's going to be a word unto perception. It's going to be a word unto perception. Practical principles unto perception based on the Word of God. That's what I believe God has allowed me to be, that I can bring that. And I thank God because it's not me, but it's Christ in me. Amen. And so the message, and I was saying all that to say this, that as I began to think about, okay, Lord, this is where you want me to go tonight on this message, I, you know, it's more than just coming up with the, you know, this message you want to bring, because now you have to do the marketing. You have to come up with a title, you know, something catchy. You got to come up with a catchy phrase to get people's attention, to draw them in, you know, so that they could get the word. And so I began to think, I didn't even have to think long, but and I know this is God. So the title for this message on tonight is, when you don't know the story, you assassinate the glory. I'm going to repeat that. When you don't know the story, you assassinate the glory. We're going to get further into what does that mean. And I don't mind you saying, Coach D, what do you mean by that? But we're going to get into it. So now what we're going to do is we're going to do the legwork to get to that. We want to know, what do you mean by when you don't know the story, you assassinate the glory? What does he mean by that? Well, let's start the footwork. And if you bear with me, as we always do, just buckle in, get ready. I'm going to do some reading, and some of you guys don't like the reading. It's boring, Coach D. Do you have to read? Yes, I will be reading on tonight, and I'm hoping that you will be reading along with me. But I guarantee you, once I finish reading, I believe that God is going to bring it all together, and we're going to really have a change of heart. We're going to have a change of heart on tonight, and that's what I believe God wants from us. So let's just go ahead and start with, we're going to go to Acts, and I'm going to be reading from Acts. Everybody's familiar with the story I'm going to read tonight in Acts. I'm going to read Acts chapter 9. And I'm going to go through verses 1 through 21. I'm going to go through swiftly, but jot it down because you may want to go back through it later. I love King James. That's my translation of preference when I want to really want to know what it says. I'm not sure that it's one of the oldest translations, but it's probably you know, pretty close to the original, and each time they translate it, it gets further and further. However, tonight I'm going to read to you from the Message. Why am I doing that? Because it's going to require you to go back and study on your own. It's going to require you to go back and read on your own. I'm going to give it to you in layman terms. The Message translation is just strictly how we talk today. It's just layman terms. You know, it doesn't get any more clear than this. However, I always recommend go back and compare it to King James so that you can make sure that it didn't get so comfortable and so lax that now it took away from the true meaning of what was written in the scripture. One of the things I was having a conversation this week with someone is that there's not a reverence anymore. That we notice when we look in the world around us and all that's going on, we stop reverencing God. God, There's not a reverence anymore. I mean, people used to be, I don't care how much they was out there sinning, people used to, they used to reverence God. You know, they wouldn't even walk by a church. You weren't going to walk by a church getting high or drinking liquor. You just, it was just something you weren't going to do. Heaven forbid you weren't going to get high and then go to church. You know, there was just a certain reverence. We weren't going to just say God, and we weren't just going to blurt out Jesus. It was a fear. It was a fear, you know, like, oh, my gosh, I better not do that. And we're seeing now that we become lackadaisical with our reverence to God. Amen. So let's get to Acts chapter 9, and I'm going to start in verse 1. Again, I'm reading out the Message Bible, so it's going to be very layman terms, but I think you're going to get it. And I'm going to start now at Acts chapter 9, verse 1. All this time, Saul was breathing down the necks of the master's disciples out for the kill. He went to the chief priest and got arrest warrants to take to the meeting places in Damascus, so that if he found anyone there belonging to the way, whether men or women, he could arrest them and bring them to Jerusalem. He set off when he got to the outskirts of Damascus. He was suddenly dazed by a blinding flash of light. As he fell to the ground, he heard a voice, "Saul, Saul, why are you out to get me?" He said, "Who are you, master?" "I am Jesus, the one you're hunting down. I want you to get up and enter the city. In the city, you'll be told what to do next." His companions stood there dumbstruck. They could hear the sound, but couldn't see anyone. While Saul, picking himself up off the ground, found himself stone blind, they had to take him by the hand and lead him into Damascus. He continued blind for 3 days. He ate nothing, drank nothing. There was a disciple in Damascus by the name of Ananias. The master spoke to him in a vision, "Ananias." "Yes, master," he answered. "Get up and go over to Straight Avenue. Ask at the house of Judas for a man from Tarsus. His name is Saul. He's there praying. He has just had a dream in which he saw a man named Ananias enter the house and lay hands on him so he could see again." Ananias protested, "Master, you can't be serious. Are you serious? Everybody's talking about this man and the terrible things he's been doing. His reign of terror against your people in Jerusalem, and now he's shown up here with papers from the chief priest that gives him license to do the same to us? Are you for real?" I could just hear it. "Really? Really, Jesus?" But the master said, "Don't argue. Go. I have picked him as my personal representative to non-Jews and kings and Jews. And now I'm about to show him what he's in for, the hard suffering that goes with this job." So Ananias went and found the house, placed his hands on blind Saul, and said, "Brother Saul, the master sent me. The same Jesus you saw on your way here, he sent me so you could see again and be filled with the Holy Spirit." No sooner were the words out of his mouth than something like scales fell from Saul's eyes. He could see again. He got to his feet, was baptized, and sat down with them for a hearty meal. Saul spent a few days getting acquainted with Damascus disciples, but then went right to work, wasting no time preaching in the meeting. I'm going to read that again. Saul spent a few days getting acquainted with the Damascus disciples, but then went straight to work. Did he wait? Nope. Did he hesitate? Nope. He went straight to work, wasting no time preaching in the meeting places that this Jesus was the Son of God. They were caught off guard by this and not at all sure they could trust him. They kept saying, isn't this the man who wreaked havoc in Jerusalem among the believers? And didn't he come here to do the same thing to us, arrest us, and drag us off to jail in Jerusalem for sentencing by the high priest? Father God, we thank you for the word that you will bring forth on tonight. We thank you, Father God, that you will not just deliver the word, but it will be your very presence, your anointing that breaks the yoke, Father God, and brings us into discipline, loosening the stronghold in the name of Jesus. Lord, we thank you on tonight. And Father, we are open to receive what it is that you have for us on tonight. Lord, that we will be better disciples. Father God, that we will fulfill the great commission that tells us to go into all nations, telling them about the good news of Jesus Christ. So, Father, have your way on tonight. I completely submit. I die to self that you will rise up on the inside, Father, and bring a rhema word for your sons and daughters. In Jesus' precious name, amen. So we read about Saul, and we understand now, you got the picture. Saul was a bad actor, right? He was a bad actor. He was out there acting up. I don't know how many years he was acting up, because it said all his 30s he was doing it. Okay? And keep in mind, he was doing it and he thought he was honorable, that he was an honorable man. He was following the rules of his belief system. He was following the rules, of his government. What was governing him, this was the rules, and he was following them, and he was proud to be persecuting the Christians. He was proud to go after them. I mean, he got arrest warrants and all kind of stuff. You see what I'm saying? So he was definitely working for the man, and he was just proud of what he was doing. Oh, but he had an encounter. He had an encounter with Jesus. Amen. And once he had that encounter, some things began to change in his life. Some things began to change. In that matter, I believe it was 3 days. They said 3 days he was blind. 3 days he was shut down. He wasn't eating. He wasn't drinking. So I only could imagine, it doesn't indicate it here, but I only could imagine that he was in the presence of God and he was just being still before God so that he could hear what thus said the Lord. What am I to do? How many of us had that Damascus experience in our lives? I don't know about you, but I did. I had a couple of Damascus experience, because the first time I didn't get it. I had to fall off the horse the second time. But I had that experience, and every time it put me in a quiet place before God. And I just sat, and I had to first of all, I think there was a spirit of guilt and shame. Spirit of guilt and shame of how I had been acting, how I had been conducting myself. And so when you're in that quiet place before God, I think I even might have been doing a Damascus experience over the last couple of weeks, where you before God and you begin to take a look at the decisions and the choices that you made in your life, or maybe over a period of time, and now you're before God and now you have a repentant heart. And it said that Paul, he had a repentant heart. Paul, he was ashamed. He was ashamed of what he was doing, while he was going around and killing the believers, the people of the way, as it said here. He was ashamed of that. And so he was spending time before he was in the very presence of God, and he could feel God. He knew it was God, and God was just sending him confirmation. What's the confirmation? He sent Ananias. That was a confirmation. And then Paul met with the disciples. I'm getting chills. Oh, Jesus. And then he met with the disciples, and he spoke with them, and he got spirit-filled, and he got baptized, and he wasted no time. He wasted no time to move forward and do what he was called to do. See, what we don't realize is that Paul was already predestined. Jesus already knew. God already knew that Saul was going to be Paul. God already knew what he had planned and predestined for Paul. Amen? God already know what he got predestined for you. It don't matter what you was out there doing before. It don't matter what kind of life you was living before. Because when you called on God, he already knew. And guess what? Whatever you was doing before, now it becomes your ministry. Your becomes your ministry. And now you can begin to utilize the experience. The experience that you had during your mess, you can now begin to utilize that experience in your ministry, and it can begin to bless others that's in their mess so that they can get to the point of being in their ministry. See, Paul was in a mess, but his mess became his ministry, amen? And so now he knows that he's serving God. He's serving Christ Jesus, and he sold out. But people didn't trust him because all they could remember was who Paul was. Paul was a dangerous man as it pertains to us as believers, and that's all they could remember is everything that Paul had did. He killed the Christian. He jailed them. He killed them. That's all they could remember. So they didn't trust him. You know where I'm going with this? I know many of you are. We've been reading the news, and we watch social media and everything, and there's a whole lot of talk. There's a whole lot of talk about a young man. And it's a whole lot of talk, and God began to minister to me about this young man. God began to minister because when we see stuff, we could get caught up in the rapture. We could get caught up with the popular belief system, even though especially when it's Christian. So everybody talking about, that's the devil. All this, he's this, okay? And so if we're not careful, we could become part of the naysayers. And now what we're doing is we don't understand the story, but now we're assassinating the glory that God is getting in his life, the glory that God has transformed. Oh, Jesus. So we sit up in church and we pray, and we sit up at home and we're praying, and we're praying for lost souls, and we're fasting, and we're praying, and we're praying, and we're fasting, and we're sitting up in church and night services and day services and morning prayer and afternoon prayer, and we're praying for these people to be transformed by the renewing of their mind. But as soon as they get transformed, what do we do as the church? We begin to persecute them. We begin to talk negative about them. We begin to doubt them. We begin to ridicule them. We begin to judge them. So we begin to do what we do. And God said enough already. He said enough already. What's going to happen when these people start coming as an answer to our prayer, men and women of God, an answer to our prayer, that these people are going to start coming and they're going to start seeking us? Are we as the church prepared to receive them? Or will we be running around scared like the people back in Saul's day? Are we going to be running around scared because of who they used to be, and we don't even understand the Spirit of God that's operating in them in the now? Now, we don't understand. We ain't even trying to understand. We ain't even trying to understand his story. All we seen was his action. And what we seen was a little boy. We seen a little boy that lost his mama. And why this touched me so much and burdened my heart, because I kind of imagined me and my son, me and my youngest son. We got each other. And that's pretty much all we got. Yes, we got other family. You know, I got parents, I got siblings, but that's me and him. We got each other. That's all we got. And so I could only imagine if God chose to call me home tomorrow, what that young man would go through. And if he doesn't have enough support system that's speaking and preaching and teaching Jesus around him, then he could very well be a Kanye West. And I'm probably not pronouncing his name right. He could very well end up being that man, that young man. That young man was hurt. He was broken. He was afraid. Everything he knew to be his truth had just left this world. And that was his mom. And thank God Almighty that he had a Christian mama who taught him about Jesus, who spoke scripture to him, who took him to church when he was younger. Thank God he had a Christian mom that planted the seed. Amen. Now, it did not stop him from going through what he had to go through to get to where he's at. And that's quite all right, because that man, I believe that that was the plan of the Lord, because he went through some stuff. He was hurt. He was in pain. And when people are hurt, they hurt people. When people are damaged, they're going to damage people. So he started beginning to make life decisions. After his mom left this earth, he began to make life decisions, but every decision was made out of hurt. Every decision was made out of pain. He didn't care no more. And I know some of you been there before. Maybe you didn't lose your mama. Maybe you didn't lose a daddy. But some of you have been there before where you've been so hurt and devastated by something, you didn't care no more. You didn't care if God called you home. And actually, some of us is too scared. We're not going to commit suicide because we're too scared to do that. Thank goodness we're scared to do that. But what we'll do is we'll begin to operate in self-destruction. We'll operate in destructive behavior that is going to take us to the same place if we don't stop. You know, I'm not going to be no coward. I'm not going to just put the gun to my head, but I'll begin to operate in negative behavior. What's negative behavior? Negative behavior is randomly having promiscuity, randomly having sex with various people, unprotected. That's destructive behavior. Destructive behavior is when we begin to, we begin to get in substance abuse, whether that is drugs, alcohol, whatever, pain pills. We begin to participate in substance abuse. We begin to operate in negative behavior. We all been there. The only thing different from us and this young man is that this young man was a celebrity. This young man was out in the world already. He was an icon. You know, he could be seen. See, when I go through my mess, I can't be seen. I'm not out there. I'm not celebrity status that everybody see what I'm doing. Border by shot. I think about Leandra Johnson. We make foolish decisions when we hurt. And for those of you that may not know her, she was a gospel recording artist. She won several awards and different things for her amazing voice, that she's dedicated to the Lord. But she was in pain and she was in hurt, so she began destructive behavior. And now the church sees her destructive behavior. And the first, they don't know the story. They don't know why she acting like this. All they know is she acting like this, and the only thing they could do is jump on her, ridicule, you know. And so I'm seeing that we're doing this as believers, and this is what God began to show me this week. This is where my passion is right now, is because we do this and we don't know the story. Nobody never thought that this young man was hurting, that this young man had just left his voice of reason, had just left him, and he was in pain. And nobody understood that. And instead of somebody trying to really, I don't know, I'm assuming, I'm making some master assumptions, but I believe that what I'm speaking has been Holy Spirit led, and I believe that this is what God dropped in my spirit as it pertained to him. I mean, him losing his mom, him going through, people thinking he was crazy, people not liking what he was rebelling. That's public record. So those are not things I'm assuming about. Those are public records. But how he felt, I'm assuming. Because I don't know. I never sat down and had a conversation with the young man. But I know that he behaved in ways that caused people to question his allegiance. Now he had a Damascus experience. And he has given his life over to Christ. And he has confessed Christ, and he is no longer making secular music. And he's now going forward, the music that he do is going to be music to glorify God. And that's what he's been doing. And my thing is that guess what? Even though he has repented, even though he has come back to Christ, what he needs now more than ever is the prayers of the righteous, the fervent prayers of the righteous that avail much. Because guess what? He's got some soul ties, and he's got some things from the life that he was in that's going to be still constantly jabbing at him. They're going to be jabbing at him. And it's going to, and he's made a decision. And we know that God is greater, but it's not going to stop some of the consequences that he's going to have to face. Paul had to face some consequences from his past behavior. See, because the seeds you sow is the seeds you grow, and one day they're going to harvest. And that's, you could pluck the harvest, you could burn it, you could throw it away, but you're still going to see the fruit of that seed. So he's still going to see some stuff, and it's not going to be an easy road for him. And people wait for him to fail because people don't want to believe that God is amazing. People don't want to believe that God is able. But these same people don't want to believe is these same people that's fasting and praying for souls to come into the knowledge of Jesus Christ. So why are we fasting and praying for souls? Why are we asking God to save the world? But then when we start seeing the world coming to us because now they didn't have a Damascus experience, we shut them down. We talk about them. Brad Pitt, he's another one, has come to Christ. Brad Pitt was confessing to be an atheist for years. And he made a confession of Christ. He said, I've always been a Christian. He said, when I was telling everybody I was an atheist, he said, I was angry and I was rebelling. He said, but I've always been a Christian. And I'm no longer rebelling. I had a Damascus experience. And we got to be ready for those people that's going to have that experience. We're going to have to be able to be ready to open the doors and be able to minister to these people. We're going to have to be able to love on these people with the love of Christ. We're going to have to be ready to disciple them. Paul sat with the disciples in Damascus. He sat with them for a few days. He sat under their tutelage. And thank God they were being obedient to the Holy Spirit, because had they not have been obedient, Paul might have went back to his life, because he might have said, see, I told you, them Christians is exactly what I thought they were. I'm going to go back to persecuting them. But there was a remnant of people that love God and love Jesus Christ that said, yes, Lord, I'll go over there. I know this man is crazy, and this may be a trip. Because, Lord, I don't know that you know that, but you know how many times we told God, I don't even know if you know what you're asking me, as if he didn't know. And God will tell us to do something, and we will be disobedient in doing it, as if God doesn't know what he's doing. He knows exactly what he's doing. And when he tells us to do something, in our best interest is to just do it, to be obedient, because there's blessings in obedience. It's blessings in obedience, amen? As we talked about last week, you know, you have to be disciplined in order to be obedient. And there's blessings in obedience. And so those people were obedient. And as a result of them being obedient, this one Saul that's now Paul wrote quite a bit of the New Testament. He written most of the New Testament. So that just goes to show that it doesn't matter what their story is. God can still get the glory out of your story. He knows. He knew from the foundation of the earth the different things you were going to go through, the different challenges, the different frustrations, the different hurts. He already knew. He already knew. But what he wanted to know more so is, will you trust me? Will you be there to trust me? You know, this had taken my heart so much that I really was in prayer, and I thought about it. You know, even me, Coach D, I thought about it. You know, what if I lost somebody near and dear to me, and I temporarily lost my mind? I know people say don't speak that, but I'm just trying to set a picture before you. Praise God, hallelujah. I got all my faculties in the name of Jesus. But let's say I lost somebody and I temporarily lost my mind. How many would criticize and judge and gossip about my behavior versus trying to love me through? You know, I see that now. I'm not always right. I don't always get it right. I don't always say the right thing. And I can see people already, people who are family, people who are friends, that'll look. They won't say nothing to me. They won't come and say, "Are you okay, Coach D? You sure you're okay? Because you kind of sound a little out of character, or you look a little sad." They won't come and say that. They'll go back with their friends and other people, and they'll talk about you. "Ooh, look at her. She's supposed to be a Christian. She doing a radio show. I'm going to keep doing this radio show until Jesus comes, unless he tell me otherwise. Because if I only could touch one person by doing this platform, if I could only touch one person, that would cause them to say, 'Jesus is Lord,' and I surrender my all to him, then guess what? I have done my job. I have done my job. So I keep doing this platform, and I don't care if it's one person on here or if it's 1 million people. It don't matter, because my commitment is not to people. My commitment is to God. My commitment is to God, and I'm going to keep doing the platform. I'm going to keep saying what I believe that the Holy Spirit is having me to say. I don't have to go to a seminary school. I don't have to know how to write a 3-point sermon. I don't have to know how to, and I don't have to know how to shout, and I don't have to know how to do this. All I have to do is just submit myself unto the Lord and allow him to use me. Submit myself unto the Lord and allow him to use me, and being obedient. Being obedient when he tells me, pick up this word. I need you to read this. I need you to go over here. Look over here. Go over here to Romans. Go over here to 2 Corinthians. And when he tells me, when I hear the Holy Spirit direct me like that, I go. And that's where I get these words from. Sometimes I get on here and I'm just like, where did that come from? I know when I get on here and I'm speaking words that are not anointed. And I know when I get on here and I'm speaking words that the very presence of God is here. And it's that presence that breaks bondages and strongholds. And people are not getting delivered like they used to. We don't see that as much. Not saying that it ain't going on. My world is real small. It could be going on in other parts of the country. But I'm just saying, I don't see it like I used to. You know what those services, when you go and the Holy Spirit just be so heavy that everybody in the service look like they drunk? Because I can remember life-changing seminar. I can remember there was time when we would be in that place and we would be in an attitude of worship, and the Shekinah glory would fall in that place, and people left out delivered. They left out transformed. They left out renewed. They left out with new vision, with new ideas. They knew their purpose. Amen. And we need more services like that. We need more services. God is telling, I believe that God would have the church to know tonight. What's the church? It's not the buildings. It's us, the people. The people are the church. And I believe that God is telling the church, wake up. There's souls to be won, not titles to gain. Those least expected will come running to us. And are we ready to receive them in our big building? We're going to spend all this time building big buildings. We can spend all this time building big buildings. We got acreage and acreage of big buildings. Church, the church buildings and the shepherds of those church buildings, I love you with the love of the Lord, and I'm lifting you up before God, and I'm trusting that you have the hearts of God. So this is not an attack, but we got a lot of big churches. A lot of big churches. But what good is it going to be to have these big churches when we have bad attitudes? Big churches and bad attitudes. So now when the Kanye West and the Brad Pitts of the world and the and others who came before them, you know, I did a little bit of studying on tonight, you know, I found out that Bob Marley was he came to Christ. You know, we know him as the weed smoking Rastafari that was kind of radical, but he converted to Christianity. And there were so many others that came to Christ. Bob Dylan, a musician back in the 60s and the 70s, secular hippie movement, he came to Christ. Betty Page, she was a free-spirited, sensual, loose, sexy actress. She came to Christ. Arthur Ann Wright, queen, they knew her as the Queen of the Vampires. She was an author, and she wrote vampire books. So you know she had to be in tune with another dimension and another thing. And they called her Queen of the Vampires. Guess what? She came to Christ. And Stephen Baldwin, after 9/11, he came to Christ. And now we know Brad Pitt has come back to Christ. And Kanye West, he is coming to Christ. And guess what? There's going to be more that's going to be coming to Christ. And when they come to Christ, the church can't be, we cannot be sitting up gossiping. We cannot be sitting up second guessing. We got to be able to open the doors and let them come in. And we got to begin to minister love to them. We got to begin to minister love to them so that they could come in and that they could be discipled and that they could be prepared to go out and fulfill the Great Commission according to Matthew 25. We got to be ready. And we can't be ready if we're so busy sitting up being naysayers. We can't be ready if we're holding people, hostage to their past. We can't be ready. And it don't make sense to keep fasting and praying and praying and fasting and fasting and praying if we're doing this and God is answering our silly people. That's what God said, you silly people. What's wrong with you? Foolish. We're foolish. He answers our prayers, and then we turn around, and we don't even believe. Have a form of godliness. Have a form of godliness with denying the power within, the power that helps us be able to do what's the right thing to do. I'm tired. And some of us should be tired. We should be totally surrendered. By now, we should have a white flag. You know, the white flag in our hand, and we should be waving that white flag to God. Say, Lord, I surrender. I'm done. I surrender whatever you want me to do, however you want me to do it, when you want me to do it, I'll just do it. I'm preaching to me, too. I'm preaching to me, too, tonight. Because it comes to me first, and all any man or woman of God that get up on the pulpit and they begin to give you a message, if it's anointed, you better believe it was a word of correction to them first. It was a word of information and revelation to them first before they ever could bring it to their congregation or before they could ever bring it to the meeting or before they could ever bring it to the revival, hallelujah. So he's talking to us, the church, wake up. Get prepared. He's getting ready to start sending them. Time is short. Can't you see? Look at it. Look at it. We got men wearing dresses and heels and short shorts. And, you know, they want to be women. And we got men who are being transformed into the appearance or the illusion of women. Somebody help me now. If I'm stepping on toes, I'm sorry. I'm just telling the truth of the word. But they're competing in sports with females, and they're winning. Why are they winning? They're winning because they're men. And no matter what kind of clothes they put on, and no matter what they get cut off, they're still men. And they're competing against women, and these women who worked hard their whole life to try to get that trophy or to try to get that gold medal or try to get that silver medal, they losing. But they're losing on an unfair basis. It's not apples with apples. It's apple and a grape. And there's no way that's fair, but it's not. This world is not about being fair. We're in a battle. Somebody, look at your neighbor and say, we're in a battle. We are in spiritual warfare, period. And this is not a criticism that I'm saying. I'm bringing to the forefront the things that we're dealing with. That's not of God. But we gotta be. But God is calling us. It ain't of God. It's darkness. It's covered all in darkness on so many levels. But God is calling us to be a light in dark places. We're supposed to be the light, and we lost our saltiness. We lost our saltiness because now we look like the world. We doing what you know. They don't know. You know, when you go, how many of us walk in the store? The world has got so crazy. Most of us don't even want to talk to somebody because we don't know if they're crazy, and we don't trust the God enough that will protect us. So we look at somebody, we're like, ooh, they're crazy. I don't want to say nothing to them. But can you remember a time in your walk, whether it was early on in your walk, when you had the dunamis, the power, the fire, Holy Ghost, and you were trying to tell everybody you could tell about Jesus. You would be all up in the stove, stopping, talking to people on the aisle. You would be everywhere. Everywhere you went, you were trying to tell people about Jesus. We need to get back to that. We need to get back to that fire. We need to be everywhere we go. We need to be telling somebody about Jesus. Everywhere we go, people should know who we are. I can say this, and I repent. I could go into my neighborhood store here. I got a neighborhood store right here that I go to. It's convenient. It's close. It's small. Get in, get out. And I'm in there often. But I guarantee you, not one of those workers in that store could tell you who I am and what my belief is. And that grieved me when God told me that. It grieved me because it's like, what are you doing? Yes, you do your show. Yes, you touch people from there. But what are you doing when you're out there in these dark places? Are you a light, or has your light been dimmed by the darkness? Has your light been dimmed by the darkness? How many of us on tonight know that this was a message for them? How many of us on tonight know that this was a message for them, know that this was a revelation, know that this is God himself speaking to us saying, church, wake up. Get ready to receive. He said already, he's been saying for decades after decades after decades that the harvest is plentiful, but the laborers are few. The laborers been too busy sitting on the porch talking about people. And it's enough is enough. It's time to stop. We got to begin to just lift. We got to begin to just be able to lift things in prayer. We got to be able to go before the throne of grace, not just keep praying. Because if we're praying and we're getting our prayers answered and we don't even recognize that it's an answered prayer, then what's the point? Amen? What's the point if we're not paying attention? What's the point if we're not paying attention? Recapping, knowing that we're talking about Saul, and I use Saul as an analogy because ain't nothing new up under the sun. The same foolishness we're doing today was being done back then. You know, just a different time, a different day, a different city, but it was all still going on foolishness. And Paul's story of Paul is a great example of what we're getting ready to start seeing. And we're getting ready to start seeing an abundance of people coming. And a lot of these people are going to be people. It's going to be some people. Some of them are going to be people nobody knows. There's going to just be no names, nobody knows. But there's going to be a lot that people know. And they're going to know them by what they used to be and what they used to do. And God is saying to us, stay in the flow of the Holy Spirit so that when these people come, you'll be able to know them. You'll be able to, the Spirit will bear witness. The Spirit of God that's in them who are converting, those who are surrendering, those who are giving their lives to Christ, no matter where they came from. Matter of fact, I read an article. I don't even acknowledge tonight. I read an article, and the gentleman that wrote the article was an ex. He was the head honcho over the Satanic Church, and he gave. I was listening to his video. I'm sorry, and he was talking about it grieves him that Christians will even acknowledge October the 31st. And he said, do they understand that what that day meant to who I used to be? That was like a major holiday, a major calling of the demonic forces on that time. And we so blind that we caught up in candy that we don't even understand that when we letting our kids go out here and trick or treat, there is an acknowledgement to the spiritual realm. It's an acknowledgement. It opens these kids up. It opens us up to demonic activity. And then we wonder why kids is committing suicide. And we wonder why kids is going in malls and shooting it up. And we're wondering why our kids is going into classrooms and shooting it up. And we wonder why all this medication that they're giving our kids now, the Prozac and the Lexapro and all this stuff. Because you know what? The pills and all that stuff has replaced the prayer. You know, it used to be a school you had prayer, and when there was prayer school, you didn't hear a whole lot about ADHD and depression. Do you know the suicide rate amongst our youth is exploding? It ain't just the youth. Matter of fact, here, I have a family member that lives in Humble, but they live on the other side. And her son's school last week, I believe it was last week, a teacher and a student commit suicide in the same week. Look at that spirit. That's a spirit. It's a spirit. But yet we doing stuff. And guess what? If some of it is subtle, some of it ain't subtle. To me, when I was growing up, Halloween was subtle. It was subtle to us. Because when I was growing up as a kid, we didn't even have the knowledge that we have now. We weren't getting taught. We weren't getting taught in the 40s, 50s, and see, I wasn't in the 40s, but the 60s. And so we weren't getting taught the word of God. We was getting preached to. We was getting preached at and preached to. We wasn't getting taught. But there's no excuse in the 80s, 90s, 2000s. Definitely in the 2000s, there's not an excuse to not know, because there are men and women of God that's out there that's breaking down and teaching the word of God. They ain't just getting up there for show. They ain't just getting up there hemming and humming. They ain't just getting up there yelling and screaming. You still got them out there, but many out there that's teaching the word of God. They're breaking it down. They're making it so that you could begin to chew on it and that you could digest it and get it in you so that it could transform you. You know, this is not biblical, but it used to say, we are what we eat. And that is true. In the natural, so it be in the spiritual. We are what we eat. If I'm eating hamburgers and I'm eating french fries and I'm eating fried this and fried that and soda this, and look, I am what I eat. I didn't gain probably about 30 pounds since I've been in Texas, because I am what I eat. Same thing spiritually. If you're not eating and partaking of the word of God, then what are you? Because if you're taking in the word of God and you're reading the word of God on a regular basis, it makes it difficult for you to live a lie. It makes it kind of difficult for you to... You're not okay if you definitely have a prayer life and you know you got a prayer life and you're reading the word of God and you're praying and you're worshiping and you're fasting. It don't leave a whole lot of room for nothing else. And when we get empty, when our cups get empty, then we get to a point where we are. That's when we start finding ourselves making mistakes. That's when we start finding ourselves being unconscious. Unconscious thought, because it says when we walk in the flesh, you know, we don't walk in the spirit, then we will fulfill the lust of the flesh. So when we're not in the word of God, when we're not in prayer, when we're not spending time with God, it makes it so much easier for us to operate in the flesh, say things, do things that's not pleasing to God. And so when you start getting like that, I know for me, when I start getting cranky and kind of complaining, you know, I'm complaining and now I'm agitated and I'm frustrated and I'm going through all these different mood swings, it's generally because I ain't spending enough time with God and my cup is empty. And it's so funny because when I think of an empty cup, I kind of think of an empty stomach. You know, when your stomach is empty, you don't have no food in it, you get sick and you begin to regurgitate. You know, the first couple of times you do it, it's food coming up. But then it gets to a point where it starts becoming painful and it hurts and it burns. Ain't no more food coming up. It's nothing but bile. The acid out of your stomach is bile. Same thing spiritually. When our cup ain't full and we haven't been spending our time with God, now everything that's coming up out of us is foul. Not bowel, but foul. We now making bad decisions. We making flesh decisions. And anything that pleases our flesh is going to be in opposition to God. Anything that pleases our flesh is generally going to be in opposition to God. Because our whole walk is putting down the flesh, disciplining the flesh. Putting down the, so if it feels real good, the chances are it's probably not good for you, you know. So I'm just saying we're constantly putting down the flesh. The flesh is not supposed to tell us what it wants us to do, but we're supposed to be telling the flesh what we want it to do. And that's where a lot of us keep falling, and I get it. It's called discipline, because when you discipline, then you can be obedient. It's almost impossible to be obedient when you're not disciplined. But I'm not going to go any further in that portion of the word. I did that word last week. But I hope that you enjoyed the word on tonight, but more importantly than enjoyment. Sometimes the word you can't enjoy because it's one of those hot out hallelujah. Sometimes the word comes as a word of correction. It comes as a word of revelation. Hey, let me tell you something. You need to know this. And so, but I pray that the word that went forth, if nothing else, that is going to cause you to think about maybe areas in your own life where you've been critical or areas in your own life where you kind of maybe been standoffish or push somebody away and not really receive them with the love of Christ and minister to them in love because you remember who they used to be. Because you remember who they used to be, and you've held them hostage to their past. And God is saying, we can't keep doing that. Amen. So, Father God, we just thank you for this word, this mighty word that went forth on tonight, Lord. We repent. Father God, we repent from our wicked ways, Lord. We ask that you forgive us of our sin and our shortcomings. We ask that you forgive us, Father God, for not recognizing when you begin to answer our prayers. And Father God, that you begin to bless us through the answering of our prayers, and we didn't acknowledge it and we didn't realize that you were answering the prayers. So Father God, we just pray right now for the church, for us, the church, Lord, that we will, that you will create in us clean hearts and renew right spirits within us, Father, so that we could be ready for the day of harvest, Lord. Father God, that we could receive those that you are sending with open arms, Father, that we will want to love on them and that we want to pray with them and for them, Father, that we will want to minister the unadulterated word of God to them, Father God, that we will want to disciple them, Father God, so that they could be prepared to go out into all the nations, Lord. We thank you so much, Father God, that you love us enough, that you're willing, Father, to give us revelation of your word by your Holy Spirit, and we say thank you for that. I want to thank you for each and every person that has chose to tune in tonight to this episode of Processing the Pain. I want to pray, Father God, for each person listening in or for those that will listen in at a later time, Lord, that we won't be so quick, that we won't be so quick, Father God, to judge, that we won't be so quick, Father God, to not know the story and assassinate the glory. The glory that's in you, Father God. You get the glory. When souls are won, you get the glory. And Father God, help us not to be assassinators of that glory, Father God. We thank you, Father, and we love you. In Jesus' name, amen. I want to thank each one of you for tuning in to this night's episode of Processing the Pain. And I pray that you will continue to join us weekly on Thursday evening, 7 p.m. Pacific Time, 8 p.m. Central Time, and 9 p.m. Eastern Time. Also, on Tuesday we have two shows that we're airing on Tuesday. First Tuesday, we have Walking in Wellness with Vanessa Scott and guests. She will be continuing her shows on Tuesdays, the first Tuesday of the month at 6 p.m. Pacific, 8 p.m. Central. Wait, I'm saying this wrong. 6 p.m. Central, 8 p.m. 6 p.m. Pacific, 8 p.m. Central, 9 p.m. is Eastern. My show is the opposite. It's 7 Pacific, it's 9 Central, and 10 Eastern. Amen. Sorry, I got that wrong. And we will continue, too, on the 2nd and 4th Tuesday of the month with He Say, She Say. Again, that's the 2nd and 4th Tuesday. First, the second Tuesday is open Q&A discussion about various topics. And then on the 4th Tuesday, we will have various guests that will come in and share either their businesses or their ministries or if they're authors. We're going to be having them come in on the 4th Tuesday of the month and share. So, again, we'd love for you to support us. If you know somebody that could be blessed by any of our broadcasts, please let them know. Just know that you are loved and appreciated. Have a great weekend.